song for Brooklyn. Singing them sweet sounds to that crazy, crazy town.
Ah, yeah, you know what time it is. We can let down our hair, the moon is high, and we are lunatics now. It's deep into safe harbor, it's Dark 30. I'm Vance Pollock on behalf of Joshua P. Warren, and now is the time you should turn off your radio if you don't want to hear some potentially outrageous material, because this is when we kick back, down a shot of hard liquor, and try to have some fun. And I'll be your creepy guide across this river Styx.
Ding, ding. Abandon all hope, sir.
My business is keeping the boys warm. In the studio with producer Sam the Animal Steel and investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop and Nevermore Mystical Arts. We talked a little bit about the candle business. Let's talk a little bit about the coin business, Shelley. What's going on next door?
Lots and lots is going on next door. Just lots of cars pulling up. Everybody's selling everything. So now's the time. If you want something really good, if you want something good for your collection, if you want something good to give away for Christmas, now's the time to come.
Yeah.
I see lots of new stuff out in the cases. They have a brand new case they put out. Yeah, they've been reworking some stuff. But, oh, yeah. Good stuff.
It's a very shiny room, folks. You can almost go blind. You better wear sunglasses when you walk into Wright's Coin Shop sometimes, because the cases are just full of gold, silver, and gold. Silver and gold, as Burl Ives, I guess, would put it. It's beautiful, beautiful stuff. And who doesn't love just the art of the coin? I mean, that's something that I always paid attention to. A lot of people are like, well, I would like to collect coins that are silver and gold, and that's the only way they really think about it. But there are people out there that maybe they haven't collected since they were a kid, but they need to renew the appreciation for coins, because there's so many beautiful designs. And one thing that's interesting on, like, the silver ounces, there are new designs that I never knew about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're coming out with custom designs. I guess some of these mints, they can do all sorts of custom designs. And there's just some beautiful art on these coins.
They really are.
So, if folks want to check in with Wright's Coin Shop, are they free to say you're looking for something in particular? Or is it okay to call somebody up there at the shop and be like, say, do you have any...
Oh, yeah.
Fill in the blanks.
Exactly.
They'll do that for you.
They'll do that. And if there's something in particular that they really want, and they want a phone call, if it happens to come in, just kind of a courtesy call, they'll do that too.
And they probably have a pretty good network. I mean, everybody can go online and shop for coins and everything, but being an established outfit with, you know, over 40 years in the business, they kind of have a grapevine, don't they? If you're looking for something pretty unique or hard to find, they can probably put word out on the grapevine, keep a want list for you.
They probably could definitely do that. But you really want to be careful where you go and get your coins. Mm-hmm. You know, you really want to make it, you know, Wright's Coin Shop.
Yeah, but they deal with reputable people all over the place. Like you were saying, Greg gets shipments of coins from out in the Pacific Northwest somewhere.
Yeah.
That's where he got that one, the medallion that he ended up throwing in the river, right?
Exactly. I did write a column on that. Exactly. But, you know, a lot of people, you were saying, a lot of people will go online and buy their coins. You do not want to do that.
No, you don't know what you're getting, and you're probably getting ripped off, if the truth be told. So deal with a local reputable outfit. That's Wright's Coin Shop. What's the phone number down there, Shelley?
828-298-5402.
What's the hours?
Monday through Friday from 10:30 until 5:30.
Okay.
And they are not open on the weekends.
Not open Saturday or Sunday.
Mm-mm.
But Nevermore's open on Saturday.
Nevermore's open from 12 to 4 on Saturday.
Okay. Just a short afternoon shift for Nevermore on Saturday, but Wright's Coins just Monday through Friday. But they do stay open until 5:30. So mm-hmm. if there's people in South Asheville that get out of work around 5, they got time to hop over there
mm-hmm.
Briefly, just stick their head in and see. I mean, in 10 or 15 minutes at Wright's Coin Shop, you fill your brain with all sorts of wonderful Christmas ideas. This has absolutely nothing to do. I want to draw the line between Wright's Coin Shop and some of the behavior we're going to hear about this hour. Dark 30. Here's a woman from Polk County, Florida, who was arrested for DUI on a horse. A 53-year-old woman additionally charged with animal neglect for failing to provide proper protection for the horse, which was being ridden in the road, in the middle of the road, placing it in jeopardy of being injured or killed. According to the affidavit, they responded to the area following a report by a passerby who said Byrne appeared confused and possibly in danger. She had an odor of alcohol, red watery eyes, and staggered. A field sobriety test was conducted, and she was subsequently arrested for DUI. I read on here and see that I know the neighborhood. It's kind of like Cumby to Lakeland, Florida, is kind of like Hazelwood to Waynesville. It's the Hazelwood of, Lakeland. And it does not surprise me. There is a lovely photograph of this woman. It looks like she did not have her dentures in when she was arrested for DUI on a horse. This one kind of makes me wince. A 19-year-old man from Chicago shot himself in the penis after allegedly holding up a Southside hot dog stand. He won't be going home when he's released from the hospital. He remained at the hospital recovering from his injuries, missing a bond hearing at the criminal courthouse on 2 counts of armed robbery, according to the Chicago Sun-Times. He was arrested not long after he was found slumped on the steps of a home across the street from a restaurant in the West Pullman neighborhood of Chicago. They say he robbed at gunpoint this restaurant 6 a.m. on Halloween. Robbing a hot dog stand on Halloween, that's what you get. He was unable to run further because of the pain of a self-inflicted gunshot wound suffered when he tried to adjust the .38 caliber pistol in his waistband as he ran off after robbing the Maxwell Street Express. The attorney said he pulled the gun out, demanded cash from 2 employees, pressed the gun barrel to the head of a 39-year-old employee, and then when he stuck the gun back into his waistband, he dropped some of the cash that he had stolen. When he bent over to collect the cash, the gun went off, and he staggered out of the store and across the street. That's instant karma.
Dumbass!
Instant karma gonna get ya. Sam, what are the deets on your next one there? You got something we need to know about.
Well, in the same vein, the same main vein, so to speak, this guy was celebrating his last night as a free man, and it kind of went south. He was an Egyptian man, got shafted.
Oh, no.
The day before his wedding. Now, apparently, a tradition in Arab and Middle Eastern countries for weddings is a celebratory gunfire. Okay. Well, over here, I mean, in the South, you hear that sometimes, too. You know, like some, woo, pop, pop, pop. Well, maybe not in a hotel room in New York City. They were celebrating in a hotel. And one of his guests at the stag party accidentally shot him in the genitals. The guest was firing off at celebration, ended up mangling the groom, hitting him in the penis, thigh, and hand, and then he took off, fled the scene, and he was arrested. Reigns unclear whether or not the wedding had to be called off. I'm going to say probably.
Or at least the honeymoon.
Probably.
Yeah, put the honeymoon
mangled,
on hold.
Mangled genitals? I mean, that's a great... I mean, right there, guys, if you're needing a reason... That's a good excuse.
If you're
excuse.
Needing a metal band name, Mangled Genitals.
It's not as good as Morbid Gump.
Morbid Gump is pretty good.
Mangled Genitals, I mean, it's a little hackneyed.
Yeah. There's probably 15 bands called Mangled Genitals out there, but, you know, every state can
I mean,
have
and
one.
Then, I mean, on sort of the same thing before we hit this break here, in Berlin, a young man detained by police during a drunken argument in Germany was found to be carrying a baby python in his pants. I think it was a baby python. Police in Darmstadt said the 19-year-old was detained on Tuesday night after a loud argument with another man disturbed residents. It happens, you know. He was searched, and they noticed a significant bulge in his trousers.
Significant.
They said it's a baby python, but, you know, significant. He told officers that he had a snake in his pants. I've used that line before myself. And pulled out a 35-centimeter. For all of you who ain't down with the metric system, that's 14-inch. Baby King Python. He was taken to the police cell to sober up. Snake was put in a box. They were looking for the owner and examining whether the non-species appropriate transport violated animal protection laws. I imagine the penalties for that could be rather severe. I don't know. Did we learn anything from that? I don't know.
I'm trying to think of the line from...
Why? I mean, it wasn't at the airport. He was like at a party or something. Or like, why does he have a snake in his pants? I guess if you're going to be transporting a baby king python, I mean, in your area might be a good place for it to blend in, maybe. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud here, just bandying about ideas.
Yeah. Name or identify this quote. What you have here is a fine sample of pure Alabama black snake, but it ain't too boku.
Shoot.
Full Metal Jacket.
Oh, I was going to say that Paul Newman movie where he ate the eggs.
The Paul Newman, not the Cloris Leachman movie where she was pursued by a hearse.
The Cloris Leachman movie and a hearse.
It's speaking of strange. It's going to get more morbid, more gross. So you've been warned. Tune out now. Coming back to ring the bell again after the break. And you'd swear that half the people, at least, on the Dark 30 segments must have had part of their brains removed. I don't know what some of these people were thinking. Very often, you can blame it on drugs or alcohol or both. But some of it, you just got to blame on completely stupid or downright crazy. Get this, Shelley. This is disgusting. This is going Gein. Florida man claims corpse is blow-up doll made with human flesh, police say. Florida man arrested Friday after he claimed a body that was found in his room was a life-size blow-up doll made with human flesh and not a dead woman. The man, 32 years old, was charged with abusing a dead human body after Miami-Dade police said they found a decomposing corpse with its stomach gutted in his closet. Police arrived at the home of his mother Friday evening after she called the police to notify them of a foul odor coming from her son's bedroom. Police said they found a badly mutilated body covered in sheets in the closet, the paper reported, and they said a decomposed leg was sticking out from the sheet. Ooh, his mother told police that her son's girlfriend often stayed with her son. When questioned by police, he said he hadn't seen his girlfriend in 5 months. Police took a closer look at the woman's body and found a large laceration across her stomach and found that several of her organs were missing. They said they found the organs outside in a garbage can next to the home. He denied killing the woman and insisted that the body was not real. He insisted that anything found in his room was from the internet. Pending the medical examiner's report, we'll know which way the investigation will go. As of Monday, he had not been charged with murder, but police said it was not off the table. Apparently, they hadn't identified it as his girlfriend. Yeah, that's just an unwholesome story. Yeah. And that's Fox News, so that's pretty legit. But that's, gross. You got anything to follow the corpse in the closet story there, Sam?
Oh, I'm sure I can. you caught me a tad off guard here.
No, that's all right.
Give me just a sec.
Well, how about a mom with a kiddie pool on the roof of her minivan? And her 9-year-old son up there holding it down. Ew. Yeah, she was arrested for child endangerment. Wisconsin mother is facing a felony charge for endangering her 9-year-old son for strapping him to the roof of her minivan. Another motorist spotted her and called 911. The caller told emergency operator she saw the 28-year-old woman driving her minivan flashers going with a little boy on top holding down a kiddie pool. The caller followed the minivan driver until she stopped and took the kid and the pool off the top of the van. When police arrived, she told them she thought it was okay because her father used to let her do things like that when she was that age. She said the boy was only on top of the van for a short time, maybe 20 or 30 seconds. She said she only did it because she had no other way to strap the pool down, so she had her son climb on top of the van and hold it down. Unfortunately, I know stupid people like that. I remember being put in the back of a pickup truck to hold down a sheet of plywood and the wind getting under it and pulling me and the plywood out into the
road. Out with it?
Yeah. Oh, that wasn't good. Well, we weren't going that fast. It was on a dirt road, but it was kind of scary flying out of the back of a truck on a sheet of plywood.
I flew over Smoky Park Highway on a inflatable rock Zeppelin type thing. It was like a big promotional blow-up balloon.
Yeah.
And some wind caught it at a remote one day. So I was running down there, and it carried the generator with it, which weighed like a good 60 pounds or something with gas. And it lifted it up, anything all the way, blowing it across Smoky Park Highway. And I jumped on it, took me up with it, and I was like, this was a bad idea.
You were airborne across Smoky Park Highway?
I didn't go all the way across. But it lifted up before I even got to it, and it flew over a truck.
Oh, my word.
With the fan blower and the frickin' generator.
Holy
smokes. It was very
windy.
It was a poor idea. Here's one. This, man, the Japanese really got us beat in a number of ways. And their educational system, I think, is they're doing some stuff that maybe we should look into. It's more fun to learn over there. Because in spite of Japan's legendary cleanliness, or maybe because of it, The Japanese love a good poo joke, okay? So back this spring, this publishing company over there, they dropped this, it's called the Unko Kanji Drill, or the Poop Kanji Drill. It's a series of educational texts filled with exercises to help young kids learn kanji. Japan's most complex writing system. It's very difficult. Through poo-related example sentences. Okay. They quickly became bestsellers, with over 2.76 million copies printed so far, just to keep up with demand. Now, you can see this picture here. Capitalizing on that popularity, Unko Sensei, that's Professor Poop, that's the series mascot, now has his own line of candies, and they look like little turds. That's how you teach kids. You have a Professor Poo lollipop.
Unko. I feel like I learned a little... I'm feeling multicultural
now,
here.
This is where it gets a little heady here, because since Unko Sensei, Professor Poop, is himself an anthropomorphized swirl of poo, this means that the manufacturer is essentially encouraging his customers to eat poo.
Mm.
Wrap your head around that, Vance.
I don't know. Is it any worse than the poo emoji that's
everywhere?
Kinda everywhere.
I mean, you see it on the Post-it notes, pillows. I almost bought a poo emoji pillow. It was on sale.
Yeah, well, kids are amused by the naughtiness of potty jokes and stuff.
So are we.
If finally it gets the kids learning to write that difficult language, which, I mean, maybe we should use poo to teach kids cursive here, because that's a dying art. They're not even teaching cursive in some of the classrooms.
I'm 41, and I don't know how to write cursive.
What? You never had to learn in school?
No, I learned. I was never good at it.
Okay.
But I always, I would always do, a cursive S, and then, a written A, M.
I print more than cursive, or it's kind of a weird
amalgam. I can never do
amalgam.
The Z.
Yeah. Do you think you would have learned cursive more, I don't know, more enthusiasm?
No,
had poop
stupid.
Somehow been involved?
No, probably not. It was just dumb. I mean, back when you learned cursive, you had that big fat paper. That was kind of cool. It looked like, a racetrack or something, like the big wide.
Yeah. Them were the good old days. But in Japan, good old Unko Sensei.
Well, Unko Sensei Steel over here. Okay, have you ever been, to New York or something? Like the big city?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you got to go to the bathroom. It's horrible because there's, nowhere to go. If you're in the know, I mean, a lot of people go to the Starbucks. But they, the Starbucks, they're cracking down on that. If the H&M or, a clothing store might have a place in the changing room area or something. But it's hard to find a bathroom in the city. You have to be a paying customer.
Okay.
Now they're taking it another level. They're getting, our information is getting involved. I don't need all my personal information to be stolen just to take a leak. But that's what's happening. Silicon Valley has reinvented the pay toilet. Now you're going to have to use an app to get in, yielding metadata to the powers that be. Yield the who, what, when, where, and why of your BMs? Well, Good to Go is the app, and it's the crappiest startup yet. Get it? Get it? Well, their turd key solution, get it, is free right now. You can download it. It won't do you a whole lot of good here as it's not live, but in New York, it is right now, and it's spreading to San Francisco as well. They say it's app hell. You need an app or a printed QR code to use the bathroom. So if you're at a coffee shop and you got to go, basically you'd go to the barista and they would you would scan this code, and then that would get you, your phone would then unlock the door of the bathroom. But who knows what other information could be taken, or hackers who are already preying upon open Wi-Fi networks and coffee shops. They say that the next big thing of stealing stuff
identity
attacks,
theft.
The attacks, denial of service attacks, those are all coming now from the Internet of Things, light bulbs and door locks and bathroom door stuff like that, where they can get into systems via, home ovens and dishwashers have apps on them now and stuff.
It's not paranoia if they really are
out to get you. That's totally true. Yeah.
Man, I don't like that.
Here in the mountains, we don't have that yet. We're still good, old-fashioned people who don't need an app to pee.
And we like our privacy. We want to do it off the back porch nobody fuss at us. It's speaking of strange, are you disgusted yet? We'll try again. Stick around.
Nobody wants to be in a British jail.
Nobody wants to be in British jail. We should have had a British jail story, but things just didn't work out that way. But somebody did go to jail, and it's a follow-up. It's a Dark 30 follow-up. You remember the mystery man who was sending strippers to perform on his neighbor's porch at all hours? Yeah, well, the Nebraska man who sent prostitutes to strip on the neighbor's porch was sentenced to prison. 4 years in prison for sending prostitutes to his neighbor's porch dozens of times over a three-year period. The Omaha Herald reports that the 45-year-old man was sentenced on Friday in Douglas County Court after pleading no contest to pandering. Authorities say he hired prostitutes to bare their breasts and strip on his neighbor's porch while he watched from his house. A family with two small children reported that women had shown up as many as 75 times since 2013, exposing themselves and sometimes kicking the door and yelling for payment. The man has also been indicted in federal court for possession of child pornography. Okay, and faces up to 20 years in prison if convicted for that. I was kind of on that guy's side until the last note there.
And boy, is your face red.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I think we had the discussion before. If he was paying in advance with his credit card to send strippers over on to the neighbor's porch to do their thing, I don't see where that's... well, I mean, it's naughty, but it's not... doesn't seem like a prison... worthy offense, but apparently he was just phoning them in like pizza parallels. Huh. People will try and send a pizza to the neighbor that they don't like down the street. And we still get those sort of calls. You can almost tell when it's a sounds like a teenager or a young person's voice, and you can hear their friends giggling, and they ask for anchovies or they ask for weird stuff. Why is it when people want to send a phony pizza order, they want to put weird stuff on it? Maybe it's just so that if the pizza is successfully delivered, that the people that get it won't want it because they just put a bunch of gross stuff on there.
Hold the anchovies. Like we're just throwing anchovies on everything.
If you don't ask specifically for no anchovies, you'll
never
get them on everything.
You'll
never
get the anchovies.
Sir, the anchovy is in the crust. The dough is actually made from anchovies.
Did you see, speaking of pizza parallels, did you see this thing about Papa John's being forced to tell racists not to eat its pizza?
What?
Yes. It's never a good day for your brand, perhaps, when your PR spokesperson is crafting a statement ordering racists to stop eating or enjoying its pizza. But that's sort of what has happened to Papa John's. So it's a deep story. But basically, it goes something like this. Papa John Schnatter. I always thought his name was something different, but it's Schnatter.
Schnatter.
Papa John Schnatter. He had pulled his company's ads from the NFL because he did not like the protesting players taking a knee. He said that it was hurting Papa John's sales. So they, you know, He was like, I don't want to advertise. I don't agree with that. Well, the alt-right or the white supremacist groups have now claimed Papa John's as the official pizza of the alt-right. And so he, you know, I guess he probably did not ask for that. And but on the thing, it says complete with a picture of a pizza with a bunch of pepperonis on it in the shape of a swastika. Now, so the chain had to issue the statement the other day. It says, we condemn racism in all forms and any and all hate groups that support it. We do not want these individuals or groups to buy our pizza. What weird times we're in, Vance, shall we?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a little more specific than some of these people saying, well, there's a lot of musicians who have said we don't want Trump supporters at our concerts, blah, blah, blah. I think a lot of that's just running their mouth. A lot of that's for show. But, yeah, for a restaurant chain to say we don't want armed gangs of neo-Nazis coming into our establishments, one thing, but to say that people with unpopular opinions shouldn't eat.
Well, I don't think they're saying they shouldn't eat, but they're saying, like, hey, you know, maybe say
we don't
like
really
Domino's is the official pizza or whatever. Don't use our name, I think is what. Check this
the
out.
The official pizza of the alt-right.
As a music lover that you are, what do you think about this? It really perturbed me the other day. I saw it was on Saturday at a Perfect Circle show. 60-plus people were ejected, kicked out of the show. And I was like, were they fighting? Was there like a violent pit or something? No, they were ejected from the show for taking pictures.
Come on.
Using their camera phones, Maynard James Keenan has a very strict policy in Tool, A Perfect Circle, and Pussifier or whatever, of no phone, you know, not using your camera whatsoever. If like any of the crew or security sees you using your camera filming, but you're ejected. And he justifies this by saying, we have signs up. You know, now I get it in a stand-up comedian kind of way. Like, you know, a lot of stand-ups these days, when you go see the show, you give them your phone. They put it in a locked bag at the front.
Yeah.
Because that way you're not, like, you know, videotaping and uploading their material that they're
right,
working on.
Right, that's sort
and
of proprietary
you're in a small,
intellectual property.
You're in a small room. You know, but you're at a rock concert, and these people are fans. If you go to an arena show, you've paid, you know, how much to park? You paid $80 a ticket, in this case, to go see A Perfect Circle. You want to have a picture of Maynard James Keenan, you know, and he's going to kick you out. He's going to kick his own fans out. That really pissed me off. Like,
I don't know. I could
Deal with it. You're
Maynard's,
making money. You're
Maynard's a pretty hardcore dude.
I don't like him.
He's a jerk, yeah. But, I mean, I think people should know that policy and abide by it.
I thought you would have sided with me, Vance.
I don't think that they should have been ejected. They had paid for their tickets. I mean, I think there would have been other ways to deal with it. But,
you know, I think that that it's just not cool. I like it when people appreciate their fans. And I understand where he's coming from. It's
have,
like, hey,
have
listen
you
to
seen
my
the
songs.
Have you seen the Marky Ramone cell phone swatter? Oh, you'll love it. It's one of my favorite videos, Marky Ramone cell phone swatter. It's just a drumstick with a 45 record glued to it, and you swat people's cell phones.
Let me throw this out there, too, because this goes perfectly with musicians that I dislike. Bob Dylan. Another one of those people who, like, when I've worked his shows several times, we're not even allowed to. They corral us like animals.
I'll join you on the Bob
we're
Dylan.
We're not even allowed
I'll
to look.
I'll join you on that hate wagon.
I don't want to look at Bob Dylan. Don't want to look at him, so I'm not going to try. Well, get this. This story is, it's weird, man. It's really, really strange. Okay, so Bob Dylan, apparently when he's out on tour, he likes to watch comedy movies on his bus. A lot of times, like, black and white, like, slapstick, old kind. I can picture Bob Dylan watching, like, Buster Keaton movies or something.
Right.
Like. Well, so he's always on hotels. He's got to pass the time. He grew obsessed with, you know, the slapstick and comedy, like Jerry Lewis and stuff. Well, because he's Bob Dylan, he can get in touch with anybody he wants. He's, like, gets in touch with Larry Charles, co-creator and head writer of Seinfeld. And this is back in, I think, like, 2002. And he was writing for Curb Your Enthusiasm at the time. And he's like, hey, Larry, I want to pitch a TV series. And so Larry Charles is like, you want to write a TV series, a comedy TV series? So he says that he took the meeting with Bob Dylan because it would be a great story. Like, I got to meet Bob Dylan. We had talked about this. So listen to this. This is where it gets really weird. So the two meet, and Bob Dylan provides Larry Charles with a box of writings, like a very ornate wooden box. Picture Bob Dylan in this ornate wooden box.
Okay.
And he opens it, and there's, like, scraps of paper in there with, like, a word written on it, or maybe, like, a half of a sentence. And he dumps it onto the counter, and he's like, I don't know what to do with these. And so Larry Charles is like, okay. And now he's like, this is very odd. So he's like, let's write a script. And we'll pitch it to HBO. They can't say no. You're Bob Dylan. If you come with me to the meeting, they can't say no because you're Bob Dylan. So Bob Dylan, Larry Charles, roll up to the HBO offices, present this pitch, right? Bob Dylan's wearing a black duster. He's wearing black sunglasses, a black cowboy hat, black boots. There's no laughing. He's staring out the window in all black, just like very melancholy, as the HBO guys are reading the script. You can picture this, can you not?
Yeah, oh yeah.
And they're like, all right, Bob, well, we think we're gonna give you an A-OK on this. You know, he was gonna star in this sitcom as well. A slapstick sitcom on HBO that Larry Charles co-wrote. And after they said that you're good to go, he's like, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't like slapstick comedy. And he left. He walked out of the room. Larry Charles ended up taking what they had written and parlayed it into something similar but different. And he won like an award for it at Cannes or something back in like 2003. Some indie movie. But can you totally picture that? Like that Bob Dylan would just be like, you know, this is what I want to do. I'm all about it. All about it. And then he's like, I don't want to do it anymore.
That is so bizarre. That
I want to know what was written on the pieces of scrap paper. I'd just be like, sandwich! Mosquito!
Oh, yeah, I can imagine... I can imagine Bob Dylan playing like the Kramer character. He just shows up in the room,
Bob.
And everybody's like, Bob!
Hey!
Hey! Dumps out a box of scraps of paper.
When you got that, you got that loo!
that's so bizarre. It's just, surreal. Celebrity will do that to people, I suppose. It's, speaking of strange... Winding down the dark 30. I saved a couple of the best for last, and we'll hear them when we get back after this break.
Just when I thought a chance had passed, you went and saved the best.
Yeah!
Speaking of strange, dark 30, winding it down, yeah. Last time we taped a show, we had Josh's interview with Stu Phillips. That was some pretty good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I went back and listened to that one again. Stu is just a national treasure.
Stu Pot.
I like when these guys who have really contributed to the pop culture in such a huge way, they're not household names. I kind of think that's an enviable position to be in, beside the fact that he's probably getting amazing royalty checks on a regular basis. But, yeah, to be able to say, yeah, I wrote the theme to Knight Rider. He was just rather nonchalant about it, you know. And he got the synths into TV music quite early. You know, he was ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
Innovator Stu Phillips. That was the last show. You can go into the Speaking of Strange archives, the podcast, speakingofstrange.com. See that little podcast title down there? Click that. Go down there and check out that Stu Phillips interview. That's the feature hour. The last time we taped, a couple weeks ago, we missed a couple of weeks in here. Anyway, we got a few more. We got the last of the Dark 30 roundup for you, and the photo is the one that really sold me on this story, but yeah, I think the headline will read pretty well. Knife-wielding man with porn magazine armor reportedly arrested after attempting to stab neighbor. And they have a photograph of this gentleman's midriff, and he is layered like a couple of Playboys and Hustlers and everything around his body and taped them to himself with duct or electrical tape.
And he's doing that to smuggle it into where?
No, he apparently was just creating armor for himself so he could go into a knife fight.
Oh, well, that's not a bad idea. That's Clint Eastwoody.
Yeah. A knife would not penetrate those porn magazines. He was arrested Sunday after reportedly showed up to his former neighbor's house armed with knives and pornographic magazines taped to his chest.
I would use a phone
as
book.
Armor, looking for a fight. Yeah, police said he had an ongoing disagreement with his neighbor, and he reportedly thought the neighbor had gotten him kicked out of a mobile home park in the county. Things came to a head when he showed up and yelled, come on out and get some. And he was reportedly holding two knives with two more secured at his waist. And he also had a large weight attached to a lanyard. And it created a man-made armor of sorts comprised of adult magazines.
It wasn't going anywhere fast.
Taped to his body. There you go.
To me, it just seems like you got to take that tape off. If he survives the knife fight, then you've ruined the magazine.
Here's some duh statements, quotes from the sheriff. He appeared to be intoxicated somewhat.
Check.
He did comply when the police ordered him at gunpoint to the ground, and he was holding the knives in both hands. Whenever the deputy confronted him, they hauled him off, charged him with assault, possession of an offensive weapon, and assault with a dangerous weapon.
Possession of an offensive weapon?
Yeah. That might be a Oklahoma thing or something.
If he made it into the jail with the magazines, though, that's currency, you know?
Yeah, he can definitely trade on those, but that may be where he's going.
Get some ramen. That is the currency. That's the currency of prison, in case you did not know. Ramen.
Yeah, they don't have cigarettes in there anymore. Mm. Do they do like a has vaping made it into the jails,
I'm
into
sure
the prisons
I'm
now?
Sure it has. Actually, I read an article about in Canada, there was criminals that were getting arrested on purpose to go to jail because they could make so much more money inside than they could out, like a thumb-sized condom's worth of tobacco would sell for like $55, $75.
Wow.
Yeah. So they were making way more money being locked up, and then when they got out, they'd have all this money.
That about wraps it up for Speaking of Strange, Dark 30 Hour. I will throw this one at you. Food for thought.
Mm-hmm.
Eat your veggies. A worried resident in Germany alerted police to what he thought was a World War II bomb in his garden. Officers rushed over and found a particularly large zucchini. That's going to do it for us. Thanks, Joshua P. Warren. Thanks, Brian Hall. Thanks, Mobius. Thanks, Josh Dindy. Thanks, Aaron Lovin. Thanks, all you good listeners. Let's do it again soon. Stay strange.